Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad it wasn't too cold for you all to get out and come to church this morning. We finally got winter in Florida. This is about as winterish as it gets, but I'm thankful for that. I couldn't deal with the other stuff. As you know, the last couple of weeks and throughout this series, we have two more weeks on talking about your unique shape, your particular shape. And we started out 2 weeks ago talking about the shape of leadership here at Wildwood. And last week, Joe gave his sermon on our annual year in review, talking about how you have impacted the community through the ministries that you do here at Wildwood over this last year. And today I have the privilege of talking about the shape of the body of Christ. Frank led us off in communion and getting into a little bit of this. But what I'm going to do, start out before I break this down, is I'm just going to dive directly into the scripture. It's in your bulletins if you want to read, but I'm going to have it up here on the screen. But this is for you to follow up later on when you go home. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. And it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. I'm sorry, I'm reading the same thing over again. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body it would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best for all. What we're going to talk about today is a way of life that is best for all and helping you understand how you fit into the shape of the church. So for my first illustration, I thought I would give you some churches that are in different shapes, that are made different ways. And the reason I'm doing this is visuals stick with you. And if you talk about inviting somebody, say, to church, the society that we're dealing with today, if you say, hey, I want you to come to church with me, are they going to jump up and just like, yeah, I'm ready to go? No, the first thing that's going to pop into their minds is, what kind of church is it? Or basically, what's the shape of your church? Is it a big church? Is it a little church? Is it a black church? Is it a white church? It is Methodist, Catholic. If it's non-denominational, that's really crazy because you don't know what you're getting there, right? We call ourselves a non-denominational church, but you really don't know what you're getting when you talk about a church. So I hope you have a better understanding when you leave here today about the shape of the church, the shape of you and how you fit into all of that. So in defining what a church is, first we need to figure out what a church is not, okay? Church is not a building. First impressions are important. So I'm really proud if I invite somebody to Wildwood because we got a pretty slamming place here. We got a nice building. We got a full gym. We serve coffee, you know, in the morning. You know, we got a lot of babies and children around here. Place to really be proud of. We got a good building, okay? But the church isn't about a building because, quite frankly, I went to a friend's church in Texas that makes this building look like a little shack. So we can't necessarily brag about our building. Church is not an event. People get tied up into what happens at the church, and they make the events their things, okay? Men gonna have a dinner on Tuesday night. Great event. I got to work Tuesday night. I would love to come because I'm a guy that likes to eat, right? But big deal, church event. Ladies are having a Christmas banquet. Once again, this year, last year, over 300 women. This year, again, over 300 women. A big event, okay? Gonna have a lot of fun, but you can't make the event your thing. People come to church for the great music ministry that we have. You know, Jesse does a great job being here for many years leading the worship band, but if you're on the worship band, up here singing and playing the instrument can't be your thing, okay? And some people get bent out of shape about church because the church isn't doing your thing. So if they're not doing my thing at this church, I'm going to go to another church that does my thing because I'm all about events. That's how I get a chance to show off, okay? Third thing. Church is not an organization. One of the first things that as churches start to grow, they tend to want to line themselves up so business can be run properly. Now, it is ultimately important that your church runs properly. I'm very proud that we have, as far as our structure is concerned here, a pretty good organizational structure. We can maintain this facility. We don't beg you all for money, probably need to, but we don't take an offering plate up here. We continue to rely on Jesus Christ to touch your hearts, for you to give your tithes and offerings so that we can maintain this facility. We have people that work here in the office that help manage this as an organization, but when your focus becomes a part of this being an organization, it gets you off track as to what the church is actually supposed to be. So the first thing that I want you to realize is the church not being an organization, it is an organism. It is a living, breathing thing that should have life and it should show life. And that life should be shown through you in what you do here as a part of this body. So I'm going to give you a screen that shows you the shape of the church, the shape of every church. One head, which is who? Christ. Head is Christ. And the body is all of us. All of us. All of us. The choir sang this morning a song talking to, lifting up to Jesus, says, "You're not in it, then I don't want it." And one of the things that you need to truly understand about any local body, any church that you want to connect yourself to, is that if their focus is on the building, the events, or the organization, and Christ is not in the head, that's not a place that you should be. Now, I was blessed to actually, between services, be introduced to several people that are here for the first time. I don't know why you came, but I'm glad you're here, okay? And if you are actually looking for a church, I think this is a pretty good place to be. And I hope that we as members don't fake it, but you see some true love here that will allow you to be able to determine where God wants you to be. And most importantly, remember, where God wants you to be, okay? Colossians 1:18 says, "Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Talk about this shape of the church, this shape of the body of Christ. And I want to give you an illustration I gave you a few months ago in a different sermon, but I thought it would be appropriate to bring it back today that shows you what happened when Christ stopped being the head of the church. This is an illustration that talks about the Great Schism. The Great Schism took place in 1054. Political situation happened. The Roman Empire split, and the Catholic Church, which had been the church, had to break up. And this is the beginning of what is called something that God did not intend to happen, a denomination. And we see how these things started to branch off into different aspects of what man interpreted God want him to be as a part of the church. Man then took over the head because he wanted church to be an organization. He said, well, I'm thinking God wants us to go this way, so I'm going to go this way. And some other guy said, I don't like the direction he's going in, so I'm going to go this way. And we have this basic illustration of how denominations started back in 1054. And quite frankly, this could be a much bigger tree because we are still continuing to split off into different factions that goes exactly the opposite of what Jesus Christ would have us to do, because he says we should live in love and unity and we should not go in different directions. There's a problem with what happened here. There's a problem with this picture, and I want you all to really think about this as you determine today what your place is in Christ's body. Always remember first, Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. We, being the body, are members that are doing their parts. We're fulfilling the church's purpose. We're supposed to be working in unity, and we're supposed to be growing in Him. So, Frank in communion talked about being different parts of the body. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes comprise parts of the body. So my question to you first is, what part are you? Are you a head, your shoulder, your knees, your toes? I never want to say that I am the head of the church. I am blessed to be part of the eldership of the church, which you all have voted and chosen to be leaders of this church. So I do have some part in leadership here. I would say, if nothing else, I might be a big mouth as being a part of the church because I am allowed to speak here, so I do speak, but speaking is important. The spoken and preached word of God is an important aspect of what needs to happen here every Sunday. And the other parts that aren't thought about are equally or more important. The neck, which turns the head, which sits in that front chair right there, because she often points me in the right direction if I'm going the wrong way. And I told them in the first service, I have two necks. Kathy Helmuth is my other neck, because Kathy is the head administrator here at the church. And whenever I'm turning all of this stuff in late to her, and my slides are not right, and I misspell stuff, she is the neck that says, Chris, you did it again. You messed up. You need to send me the right thing. But the parts of the body that you don't see are so important. This is what the scripture talked about, the things that really make the difference in the body. I'm going to bounce back to this scripture so you get what I'm saying. And I always like to base my sermons on a lot of scripture, because you can't say Chris Freeman said that, because this is coming from the Bible. If you don't like what's in the scripture, then that's your problem, not mine. Okay? You can't say you don't like me, because I'm going to come out of the book. All right? 1 Corinthians 12, 18, 27 again says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. So if you're sitting next to an elbow that's poking, you just remember that God put that elbow there right where he wanted it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. While the most honorable parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. All the members care for each other. All the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. If all of you together, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are a part of it. I talked about this again last sermon, about those parts that aren't seen, about the people that have to come after all of you leave and clean up all of this mess. About the people that are in the back that are preparing the coffee and cookies and stuff that we come and enjoy and don't think about. About the people that, if they weren't in the sound booth today making me sound and look halfway decent, you wouldn't be able to hear the service. I depend desperately on them because the clicker wasn't working right first service, so they had to help me. But think about those less honorable parts. One of the things that happens when we deal with the body of Christ and we get in and we start trying to figure out where we fit in, sometimes we fit in the wrong places, or we're trying to fit into places where we're trying to get attention, and that is not where God wanted us necessarily to be. We have to really look at this and realize this, and this is why we've been doing the Shape series over the last few weeks, so you can understand better how God uniquely designed you. If you think about the miracle of how 8-9 billion people live on this earth, all of us have a different fingerprint that God particularly designed, and he had a purpose and a place for each of us. He has a purpose and a place for each of you. You were shaped for serving God. And the acronym SHAPE that we've been studying over the last few weeks, we're going to finish up this coming Wednesday night. S-H-A-P-E stands for your spiritual gifts. Everyone that is in Christ, that has allowed Christ to be the Lord of their life, has a unique spiritual gift that he is giving you to work within the body of Christ. I call it a superpower. Superpower is only activated when you go into action to do stuff. So when you're sitting here coming for 2 hours and doing nothing, your superpower ain't gonna never happen. It's never gonna be exposed. You have to do it. Sometimes that's within the church, but most of the time, you know what? It's out there in the world where they need to see what the church actually does. H stands for heartbeat, which is your passion. What do you have a passion to do to make a change in the world, to do differently for the world? Are you an advocate for the homeless? Are you an advocate for people that need better education? Everybody has a particular passion or something that you want to do. God designed you to do that. Everybody has abilities, certain things that they're good at. If you ask me to go under the hood of my car and try to fix something, my car ain't gonna be running after I get in there. But we have people within this church that are auto mechanics, HVAC people, carpenters, construction workers, or things. Those are important for our vocations. We have people that are teachers here. They're important for our vocations, but they also play as a part into what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. The P, the personality, this is one of the problems we have a particular problem with in the church. I gave them a trick question in the training the other Wednesday when we were talking about personality, and I asked them to write on the name of the paper. Name the person in your life that you felt that you ran across that had the worst personality. Everybody came up with a name of a person. And then I said, come up with the name of the person that you felt that in your life that had the best personality. Everybody came up with a name. Well, guess what? There are no good or bad personalities because God made all of them. Just sometimes those people get on your last nerves. And a lot of times they're in the church when we start getting to know each other. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Experiences. Good or bad experiences help shape the very unique person that God wanted you to be. We share a lot of those experiences in life, and we think wow, why did I go through grief? Why did I go through divorce? Why did I go through an experience with cancer? Why did I go through an experience with losing my job? Why is all of this happening to me? It's because that is how God is particularly shaping you. And all of this, as Romans said, is working together for good for those that know him and that are called according to his purpose. I would hope that you're one of those people that are called according to his purpose. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. Joe illustrated that with us a little while back when he made y'all take your cell phones out and take a picture, selfie, and said, look at that picture, you're God's masterpiece. Beautiful illustration. So I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them, you're God's masterpiece. Now, some of y'all are lying because you don't really believe that. Because you can look at somebody and say, God sure could have done a better job with you. But let me tell you something. It says he's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things, assignments he planned for us long ago. Let me help you understand a little bit better about that masterpiece thing. You take that piece of clay, chemical composition of a person really is kind of the same as clay if you break down the elements of what our bodies are made out of. And he takes that clay and he throws that on that potter's wheel and he beats it and he shapes it. And that is our life, people. Good or bad, the stuff that happens to us is God shaping our life, okay? For him to be able to get out of us what he wants out of us. And we resist that because we don't like change in a lot of cases. And guess what happens when we don't like change and we go in a different direction? He'll take that clay and he'll slam it back down on that wheel again. Or he'll take that pot with that crack in it and he'll slam it down on that wheel again. And he'll take it and he'll start molding it and he'll start over on you. Any of y'all had your pot slammed on the wheel and start over? God uses that stuff when we're too stubborn and we don't want to yield to his shaping. He uses that to reform us eventually into what it is he wants us to do. He puts us in that oven and he bakes us until we get to that point where we are a beautiful vessel at the end. Now, I stayed in the oven a lot longer than some of y'all because I'm a little bit dark. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't laugh at me because some of y'all are half-baked. So, whether you think you're a masterpiece or whether you think the other person is a masterpiece, if you think it's something a little strange about them, say, well, they're just half-baked. God's still working on them. And that is the kind of relationship and understanding that we need to have with each other as a church if we're going to really be in loving unity with the way he wanted to put us together. I talked about a church not being a building. Some of y'all recognize this slide. If you're a first-time visitor, you might not have ever seen this, but this was Christian Church. This is Christian Church in the Wildwood 50 years ago. It was up on the hill where Bill and Dee is, and this is how we started out. So if y'all come here for the first time today and somebody would have drove you up and you would have seen that, what would you think? You wouldn't think a whole lot. But let me tell you something. Some of those people, they had the right idea back then, because if it wasn't a church back then 50 years ago that had Christ as the head and members that were able to work with each other and love each other and shape each other, we wouldn't be at the place where we are today. I'm thankful to some of you because I did a little survey online and a lot of you filled it out. And I put some stats up here that I want you to be aware of. We have 406 families here that are members of Wildwood, 827 total members, 624 adults, 203 kid members. Our youngest baby that we could figure out is about 8 weeks old. And our oldest member that we could figure out, Mr. Pond's picture is up here with his 95 on his birthday. And when we started talking about this a little bit, we've got a couple of more than a few 90-year-old people here. And a lot of babies. I think that's a real blessing. We have a little bit over 1,000 people coming in and out of this church every Sunday to be a part of this fellowship. I think that's something to celebrate. But what I wanted to do, yeah, should be proud of that. I put the survey out on Facebook just to figure out how diverse we are. And this is what I came back with. Y'all, I said, tell me where you're from, where you came from. This is what I get. I get Puerto Rico, I get Spain, I get Greece, Costa Rica, I get Swedish, Czechoslovakian, yeah. I get Italian, Lithuanian, Germany, Irish, Polish, French, Lisbon, Portugal, full-blooded Portuguese, Sweden, Wales, somebody put Florida up there, we don't count that. Canadian, Republic of Congo, a Dutch background, Denmark, a lot of Puerto Rico here. People from, celebrate. People from England, a lot of German. I got Sioux Indian, Shawnee Cherokee. I have Russian, of course Italian, more Native American, Honduras. Some guy said I came from a land down under, and I was like, was that hell or where, you know? But no, he's Australian. You know, we have our typical blacks here, our typical whites, and we got our Heinz 57, okay? So the diversity, this is us. This is Wildwood. I think we should be proud of this because this is not our grandfather's church. Not my granddad's church, not your granddad's church. When we look at how the church is split up into denominations and factions and tend to go toward people that are like them and do the type same things that they do, that's not how we're supposed to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the world in general, the world is figuring it out better than church is. Because they're understanding that in order to get somewhere, you need to connect with somebody and blend with people that are a little bit different than you. And it doesn't help to learn something from somebody that is a little bit different than you. So I think we do a pretty good job here as it relates to diversity. And I think diversity has to actually reflect what's going to happen when we get to heaven. Because if you think about it, it ain't going to be a Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist heaven. It's not going to be a black, white heaven. It is going to be a diverse heaven. And you might get up there and you might be living to a Republican or a Democrat. And how are you going to deal with that? You know, when I looked at where everybody was from, every state of the union pretty much, I don't know if we have any, I know I got Hawaii, do we have an Alaska in here? You know, we look at commonalities and stuff like that. God is going to accept those that have accepted him as Jesus Christ and Savior in their personal life. He's not going to ask you where you came from. I was laughing with Bobby, you know, even Boston people, some of y'all going to be up there. I was laughing with him. So, as good as we do a job here, is Wildwood the perfect church? I say, if you want to find a perfect church, go to www.perfectchurch.com. And you can find, when you go to that website, you're not going to find any place listed at all. And as much as I like this place, it's not for everybody, so I'm not using this as a promotion for you to come here, because what I want you to do is understand this. God has to tell you, because you are uniquely designed as a part of his body, if you're in Christ, you got to listen to him as to where he's telling you you need to go. Okay? Listen to Christ. And those that don't listen to Christ, and you're going because of the denomination, you're going because of the music, you're going because of the events, you're going because of the building, you're going because of the organization, you're going to get here and you're not going to be happy. And this is why we hop from place to place. In the statistics that I looked up when I was researching and doing this sermon, I have found that 76% of the people that currently don't go to church used to go to church. Anybody here experienced church hurt before? I'm the first in line. So sometimes this does not end up being a healthy place for everybody if it is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I wanted to look at two things that you have to realize about a church. The church is a part of a local body, which is represented by Wildwood and the other churches that you may see in the neighborhood. They're very important. But church is also defined by being a universal church. The universal church consists of everyone everywhere who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So what that means doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what their denomination is. It doesn't matter what their political faction is. If they're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we have to look at them as sisters and brothers. And the body of Christ is not going to be represented properly unless we can show that love first among our own family, among our own household of God. Not just here at Wildwood, but anybody that professes the name of Jesus Christ. I told you that this isn't your grandfather's church. You know, the Christian community went all crazy when a little-known rapper named Kanye West said that he now belonged to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, I don't care for Kanye's music all that much, but if he's professing the name of Jesus Christ, my job is to pray for him, because I'm going to tell you something, he's going to be able to get a lot bigger platform and influence than I ever will here standing on this little stage at Wildwood. So if they're professing Jesus Christ, it's not my job to sit up there and scratch my head and judge, saying, I don't know about that, you know. It's my job is to say, thank you, Jesus. If this man has given his life to the Lord, you know, you got other celebrities, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, all of these people, you question what you see on their life. But if they're professing Jesus Christ, there's got to be a plus to that. There's got to be a positive to that. And our job here is to treat them as brothers and sisters and not bash them, but pray for them. Because if we're going to treat them the way that we, you know, we'll do the same to each other. We need to cut each other down. We need to support each other. This illustration will show that. God uses a lot of plant life and agriculture and vegetation through the Bible to use as illustration, but this particularly got to me. This is the root system of the sequoia tree. The sequoia tree, the largest tree that exists, has somewhat of a shallow root system, but the thing that's different about the sequoias is this. The root system, though it's shallow, it is intertangled within a forest, and the root system for one tree may spread out over 200 yards. And they wrap around the roots of the other tree so that if one tree is getting nourishment and the other tree isn't, the tree that is getting nourishment is able to give nourishment to the tree that isn't. So should it be as the body of Christ. And this is an explanation for why people bounce from church to church. Instead of getting down in the dirt with a brother or sister that might not have a personality that you quite might be from somewhere you don't understand, again, that Boston accent or whatever. You know, just get on your nerves. You might not like my South Carolina accent. But I'm going to tell you what. If there's something that you see me doing or something that you don't understand, get to know me a little bit better. Because what happens is when we see somebody that kind of turns us off, we turn away from them and we separate. And we might talk to somebody we do like and say, you know, that guy over there, he's kind of odd, you know. I don't know if we need to deal with them. As opposed to the love and unity that strengthens a church, that strengthens this body. I told you before when I preached, I'm not a person that deals with a lot of people. I'm not a person that is, on the outside, I'm a very surface person. I'm going to laugh at you and smile, but to be honest with you, I don't know a lot of your names, you know. And I'm not comfortable hanging out with a lot of people very closely. But the main thing that I've grown in this congregation since I've been here is getting to know some of you, getting to sit down and eat, share a cup of coffee with many of you, and learning a little bit more. And you know, it has strengthened me and it has helped me get out of my shell a little bit and feel a little bit more comfortable with letting my hair down to talk about some of my experiences and some of the ways that God has shaped me. And I'm hoping that me sharing some of that stuff with you has helped you grow as well, because This is how we grow together. So it ain't about these 2 hours here in the morning. What it is about the rest of the week. The most important thing that happens in the body of Christ is the growth and the love that you show for each other when you leave here. Doesn't mean anything that you went to church this morning and you tell your next door neighbor, hey, I went to church this morning. What it means is, can I sit down with that next door neighbor and share Christ with them? Can I talk to my brother or sister about something that's bothering me tomorrow or the next night or whatever? This is how we grow together. This is how we shape each other and shape the body of Christ. I'm going to finish up here quickly, but look at the verse in Ephesians, which will kind of hit the nail on the head. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote, by the way. And you talk about shape and experiences. Look at the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. He was a guy that was out killing Jews. He was a guy that was out killing believers. And God struck him down. He had the Damascus Road experience. And when they brought him into fellowship with the other apostles, it was like, why you bring this dude in here? He was just killing us a couple of weeks ago. But God used him to write most of the New Testament in a most amazing way. And he used him to give these letters to develop the church to help us understand how it is we're supposed to live. And this is the main thing I want you to get. He's telling us in Ephesians, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. If you are in Christ, you have received a calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Christ gave himself each and every one of you in your unique gifts, talents, abilities, and experiences. 2, equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, in conclusion, I ask you, are you a head, your shoulder, your knee, your toe? What are you doing to affect the body of Christ? 3 questions. You may be a person that's bouncing from church to church looking for where God would want you to be. That's okay, but listen to him. Spend a little time. Move slowly. Don't stop coming here if this is your first time because you didn't like the music. Yeah. Okay. I had a lady tell me, she visited church. She said, I don't like your church. I said, why? You don't have a choir. Because she wanted to be part of a choir. Because it was about her thing. Don't come here because you see mostly white people. White people are all right. I've gotten to know some of y'all. Y'all okay. You listen to what Jesus Christ tells you as far as where you decide. If you're bouncing from church to church, understand this. As the scripture says, there are no eyes walking around out there alone, hands walking around. You need to be a part of the body, okay? Connect yourself, if not to Wildwood, to a church that's led by Jesus Christ. 2, you may be a member here. You may be in Christ. You may be a member here, but you might be a 2-hour-a-week member. We have still the 80-20 principle here. 80% of the people just come and do nothing. 20% of the people do all of the work. We need more eyes, ears, hands. There are people that have taken our shape training that have gotten themselves involved in church and have actually started new ministries here. There's a lot more for us, a lot more that we can do. 3rd and most importantly, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and been baptized into him, you're not a part of any church. You're just somebody that's coming and visiting a building with a bunch of people in it. Connect yourself to the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ first, and then connect yourself to a local body where you can experience the fullness of how God created you to do what he wants you to do. And that masterpiece that he made you will shine the light and the salt and affect the community around you. Amen? Amen. I'm done, but what I want to do is ask the prayer team to come up front. Because if this message has spoken to you and you want to get yourself connected first and foremost to the body of Christ, we want to show you how to do that. You might be connected, but God might be putting you on that wheel and shaping you, and you might not be able to deal with the experience a whole lot. Well, we want to pray with you. We want to breathe life into you now and help you with that experience. And if you want more information about how you can be connected to this body of Christ, you don't need to come up for prayer. We have a Next Steps station out there that'll show you how you can get plugged in. Okay? Let's stand. I'm going to close in prayer and you all can go home. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for these brothers, these sisters of mine. I thank you for the transparency, that we would have transparency with each other, that, you know, quite frankly, sometimes we don't like each other, but all the time we need to love each other. Because God, you showed love to us, and none of us deserve the love you showed to us. So I thank you for offering your Son on our behalf that set the perfect example for us to show how to love others. I ask that we walk out of here with a renewed purpose to be the salt and the light of the earth and to gloriously represent the body of Christ for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all go be the church.